Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Well, I'm excited that we're here today to study God's Word, excited about what God's doing in the life of our church. Can I tell you, if you're our guest today, we have all kinds of people here at North Central. Can I tell you that all people are welcome here, every race, every skin color. We come from different economic backgrounds. We live in different neighborhoods. Some are single and some are married. Some have been married for a long time and some just got married. Some have kids, some don't have kids. Some wish they could have kids. Many are believers, but not all. We are all sitting here today and we need the gospel. We need to repent of our sins and put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel is powerful, and it gives us the ability to put our lives together. It helps us make sense of the things in life that we don't understand. Jesus Christ is powerful, ladies and gentlemen. The gospel is powerful, and can I tell you this? Jesus Christ is wonderful. We are studying in the Bible the book of Ruth. The setting for the book of Ruth is really the book of Judges in the Old Testament. The summary statement of the book of Judges in the Old Testament is this: and everyone did that which was right in his own eyes. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Everybody did that which was right in his own eyes. By the way, we need to pray for our nation. This coming Thursday is the National Day of Prayer. And if you would like to come here and pray during lunchtime, then you can come and pray in our fellowship hall from 11 to 1. There are probably other things that are happening in our city that you may want to be a part of in the National Day of Prayer. But it's just a day that we as believers come together and say, let's pray for our nation. We need prayer in our nation. God's people needed prayer back in the days of the book of Judges, and this particular story of Ruth took place during that time. Now, Ruth and Naomi had come back from Moab, and as we studied in chapter 1, we see God's hand of providence working, and today we continue in that same vein as we look at the hand of God moving in the life of Ruth. So I want to begin in chapter 2 and begin with verse 4. And I want you to follow along in your copy of God's Word as I read from my copy. It says this: now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless you. Then Boaz said to his servant, who was in charge of the reapers, whose young woman is this? He noticed Ruth. By the way, the title of the message is Ruth Meets Her Man. Ruth meets her man. All right, well, he noticed her in verse 5. So the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered and said, it is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. And just to remind you, Moab was a pagan nation, an enemy of God's people. And so Ruth was like a fish out of water. She was in a whole different nation than she would have normally felt comfortable. Verse 7, and she said, please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. This is what Ruth said to the superintendent there. So she came and has continued from morning until now, though she rested a little in the house. Then Boaz said to Ruth, you will listen, my daughter, will you not? Do not go and glean in another field. He didn't want her anywhere else. Do not glean in another field, nor go from here, but stay close to my young women. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Have I not commanded the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn. So she fell on her face, bowed down to the ground, and said to him, why have you found favor? Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner? And Boaz answered and said to her, it has been fully reported to me all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and your mother and the land of your birth and have come to a people whom you did not know before. Verse 12, the Lord repay your work and a full reward be given you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge. Now you should circle that verse in your Bible. If you don't write in your Bible, then don't do that. But I make notes in my Bible, and if you are one that does that, then that's one you ought to circle. Many believe that is the key verse of the whole book of Ruth. Verse 13 goes on and says this, then she said, let me find favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants. Now Boaz said to her at mealtime, come here and eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar. So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed parched grain to her, and she ate and was satisfied and kept some back. And when she rose up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. Also let grain from the bundles fall purposely for her. Leave it that she may glean, and do not rebuke her. So she gleaned in the field until evening and beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley, about 30 to 50 pounds of barley that she gleaned. Then she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. So she brought out and gave to her what she had kept back after she had been satisfied. She brought her home a plate, is what she did. As her leftovers, okay? She brought her home that meal. Verse 19, and her mother-in-law said to her, where have you gleaned today, and where did you work? Blessed be the one who took notice of you. So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, the man's name with whom I've worked today is Boaz. Then Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord who has not forsaken his kindness to the living and the dead. And Naomi said to her, this man is a relation of ours, one of our close relatives. Ruth the Moabitess said, he also said to me, you shall stay close by my young men until they have finished all my harvest. And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women and that people do not meet you in any other field. Verse 23, excuse me. So she stayed close by the young women of Boaz to glean until the end of barley harvest and wheat harvest. And she dwelt with her mother-in-law. Now, in Boaz, I can tell you what's going to happen in chapter 3 and in chapter 4. She is going to end up marrying Boaz. Boaz is going to become what the Bible calls a kinsman redeemer. Back in those days, if there was a next of kin close to someone who had died, then that person would take the responsibility of their fields, would buy up their fields, and continue the family name. And it also meant that the widow would go with that person as well, who was the kinsman redeemer. And so this is what is eventually going to happen. And yet Boaz and her meet for the first time. So you see that Boaz, in many ways, Boaz is a picture of the redemption that we find in Jesus Christ. We not only have a love story here. Ruth meets her man, okay? We not only have a love story here, it's a beautiful love story, but we also have something theological, something that helps us understand the mind of God. And so I want us to think about that in terms of the story of Ruth and also in terms of the theology of it as the Lord meets us and has an impact in our life and saves us. So I've done that through five basic points that you have in your bulletin, and I want you to follow along. Here's the first thing. Number one, he notices her. In verses 4 through 7, he notices her. And in verse 4, it says this in chapter 2, verse 4, it says, now behold, that is a word that expresses wonder at his arrival. It shifts the attention to Boaz from Ruth. It says, and behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem. There's a sense of anticipation that comes. You remember Boaz was mentioned in last week when we talked about chapter 2, verse 1. Out of nowhere, the writer gives us this picture of Boaz. He's not even entered into the story, and yet the writer of Ruth tells us about Boaz. It creates some anticipation about this man named Boaz. Notice that he is a good man. He's a good employer. Maybe you're an employer today. Can I just tell you this? You have a lesson. You have a lesson from the life of Boaz. He greets his own people by saying this to them: "The Lord be with you." And you know what? They answered him back: "The Lord bless you." He must have had a positive work environment. He is a model for employers. And by the way, in the midst of all kinds of difficulty, you know, the Lord has given some good employers out there. Amen? There's some good people to work for. There's some people that are honest, and there's some people that have your best interests at heart. And that's the way Boaz was. When he came up on those reaping in his field, he said, "Hey, the Lord be with you today." And they answered him, "The Lord bless you." But you know, he noticed Ruth. In verse 5, "Whose young woman is this?" In other words, she's out of place. She's somebody I've never seen before. Is she someone's daughter? Is she someone's wife? He is interested. And then in verse 5, it says, then Boaz, he says, "Whose young woman is this?" And so the servant in verse 6, who was in charge, this is his superintendent of the reapers, answered and said, "It is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab." Well, it uses the word young. She was probably considerably younger than Boaz. He says in verse 7, how much of a hard worker. She said to the superintendent, "Please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves." So she came, the superintendent says, "and has continued from morning until now, though she rested a little bit in the house." She's a hard worker. And so the thought is here is that, you know, Ruth meets her man. Well, it begins with Boaz noticing her. If you carry over the theological side of this lesson, can I tell you this? In your need for a redeemer. Now, Ruth had a need for a redeemer. And so she was noticed by Boaz. Well, can I tell you this? In your need for a redeemer, and I'm not talking about a husband right now, okay? I'm talking about a savior, okay? Boy, some people just really sat up, man. So I tell you, they got excited about what I was about to tell them. But let me tell you this theologically. In our need for a redeemer, can I tell you this? The Lord Jesus notices you. The Lord Jesus is looking at you. He saw you, the Bible says, in your mother's womb. The Bible says Jesus wept over Jerusalem when he saw the lostness of the people. He said to his followers, he says, "Go into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come. Go into all the world," Jesus told his followers. And then the Bible says in this most familiar verse, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son." He even said in a parable, he said, "Look, if you have 100 sheep that you're looking after and one is lost, you leave the 99 and go after the one." All of that is to say this: in whatever you're facing in your life, if you wondered if there's a redeemer looking for you to change your life, can I tell you this? The Lord is looking for you. The Lord notices you. All right? Number two, he speaks to her. The next thing that happens is he speaks to her. He takes the initiative. In verse 8 of our passage, it says, "And Boaz said to Ruth, 'You will listen, my daughter, will you not? Do not go to glean in another field, nor go from here, but stay close by my young women.'" He says, he calls her my daughter. He speaks to her like family. "Do not go and glean in another field. I don't want anybody else. I don't want you anywhere else than right here." He takes an initiative to speak to her. Dr. Warren Wiersbe is one of my favorite Bible commentators, and when he was talking about this particular thing in his commentary, he says he recalled a story when he went to England. And in England, he and his family were there, and they heard that the queen was going to dedicate some special ministry or some special building, and so they decided to go. They changed their plans, and they were standing on the curb, and he said in his writing, he said, "What if the queen was driving by, and here we were standing there on the road, and all of a sudden the queen rolled down the window and said, 'Hey, Warren! Hey, Betty! Hey, Judy!'" That's his wife and daughter. "Hey, Betty! Hey, Judy!" He said, "That would have been something." He said, "What if she said, 'Hey, I'll have my guards take care of y'all today. Meet me up here where we're going, and I want to talk to you.'" Boy, that'd be pretty neat to have someone speak to you that is that famous. Well, he went on to say the queen didn't do that. They just stood there, and the queen drove by. But he said, "You know, the queen didn't speak to me, but somebody far more important has spoken to me." Do you know the book of Hebrews says it this way? It says, "God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets," listen, "has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds." And so Boaz spoke to her. It took an initiative for him to do that. And can I tell you this? The Lord Jesus is speaking to you as your Redeemer. He is speaking to you. All right, number three, we're moving fast. Number three, he protects her. Number three, he protects her. In verse 9, he says, "Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Have I not commanded the young men not to touch you?" Somebody said this is the very first harassment policy that was ever written. Seriously. He said, "I've spoken to them. They will not touch you." He says, "I have commanded the men not to touch you. And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn." And so he is protecting her. "Don't go glean in any other field," he said in verse 8. "I want you to stay close by. Attach yourself to the servants that I have that are in the field." And then, number three, "I want you to know that the men will not mistreat you." This is important. He wants to protect her. And then he says, "I want you to drink from the water drawn for my men." This is amazing. Now, normally in this time and in this period, the ladies would have drawn the water for the men. Boaz is saying this: "I want you to drink the water that has been drawn for those men. I want you to have it." So he is protecting her. He is making a way for her, all right? Number four, we're moving fast. He provides for her in verses 10 through 17. In verse 10, look at this. "So she fell on her face." She shows in her posture her humility. "And she falls on her face, bowed down to the ground, and she said, 'Why have I found favor?'" Now that word favor is equivalent to our word grace. It's equivalent of us finding favor from God. Boaz is a picture of a redeemer. And so she says, "Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?" Listen, let me just make something crystal clear. Even though in the Old Testament the Lord had his chosen people, Israel, it was always, now hear me in this, it was always in the heart and the mind of God that all people would have a relationship with him. What did he say, the Lord say to Abraham? "I want you to go to a far country." And he said, "I will bless you, and in you all the nations of the earth, all the people groups of the earth will be blessed." And so it was always God's intention. And yet we know that it is the natural sin nature of man that if people don't look like us, act like us, speak like us, dress like us, have the money we have or not have, or whatever the case may be, we're inclined to just huddle up with our own people. And yet, that is not the heart of God, because she notices it. She says, "Boaz, this is unusual. Why have I found favor? I'm not from your people." And in verse 11, Boaz answered and said to her, "It has been fully reported to me." He already knew about her. The Bethlehem where they were in Judah was buzzing about Ruth. Naomi and Ruth had come back, and they were saying, "Boy, this girl Ruth, she's from Moab, but I'm telling you, she has loved her mother-in-law, and she has served her mother-in-law." And Boaz says, "It's been fully reported to me," in verse 11, "all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and your mother and the land of your birth and have come to a people whom you did not know before." You know, she's the one who said, if you look back in chapter 1, verse 16, it says this. She's the one that made the famous quote, "Entreat me not to leave you or turn back from you." And then she says, "For where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts you and me." She says, "Wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God." I saw Ryan and Taylor were greeting back here. I had the privilege of doing their wedding. Robert was there, and he sang beautifully, and we had the chance to do that. I remember talking with them about their wedding. And you know what, Robert, I didn't ever tell you this, but they told me one time in a meeting, they said, "Well, Pastor, we know you know how to marry people." And I told them, I said, "I promise you this, when you leave, you'll be married." That's what I told them. But I, you know, I have a most pastors have kind of a plan that they use with vows. Every once in a while, somebody wants to write their own vows and say, "You know, I promise to you that I'll let you watch Monday Night Football and all that stuff." I get rid of that. We're not doing that. This is a formal wedding, you know. And so I have some important vows that we say. But one thing that Taylor said that I've never forgotten, she said, "Robert Prevett read in class one day, in our couples class, this passage that I think is in the book of Ruth, where Ruth says, 'Your people will be my people and your God my God.'" She said, "Whatever you say, Pastor, I just want you to include that in your ceremony." Well, that's the famous passage that Ruth shared. And so Boaz was saying, "Look, I've noticed that, how you've done that." And then in verse 12, "The Lord repay you." The Lord repay you. And that word repay is from the same word where we get the word, listen, shalom. "And the Lord repay you peace." The Lord give you peace. I've said this probably too many times, but it's so powerful. The word peace in the Old Testament is a word that is just so full of meaning. It means wholeness. Now, congregation, think about this. Is this not what we really want in life? We want to be whole. We want to know, we want to have peace. It's to have a settledness that you're on the right track, that you know God, your Creator. And that's what this word is. He says, "The Lord give you peace and wholeness, and a full reward be given you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge." Ruth had come under the wings of God and said, "Lord, I don't have all the answers, but I'm trusting you." And so he is going to provide for her. He is going to protect her. He is going to provide for her. Verse 13, "Then she said, 'Let me find favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me.'" That's interesting. "You have comforted me. You have encouraged me." It has with it the idea that there was tension, and now you have eased my mind. It's a picture of peace. Ruth says this to Boaz, "Because you have decided to provide for me and help me and let me glean here, and I have found favor," she says, "you have comforted me. You have relieved the tension. You have eased my mind." Can I tell you this, ladies and gentlemen? Unless you find your peace in Christ, you will all of your life look for your mind to be eased. Pascal said it this way: we're all created with a God-shaped vacuum. And until we find the missing piece, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, to put into our lives, we will be in angst looking. What do we try to fill it with? Well, we think, well, if I just had more money, I'll be happy. Well, if I just had more another relationship, then I'd be happy. If I just had power, if I just had a title, I'd be happy. And you know what? All of your life is spent chasing the missing puzzle piece. But can I tell you this? Augustine knew it, because Augustine said it this way. He said, Lord, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until we find our rest in thee. So until you take that puzzle piece of the Lord Jesus Christ and stick it into your life, you'll never find peace. Well, she was finding peace because she says, you have comforted me and you have spoken kindly. That phrase means spoken on the heart. Boaz was speaking to her heart. And so in verse 11, he raised his voice and he talked to her. He wasn't ashamed to associate with her. He gives her that emotional provision. And then he gives her some physical provision, some food. And in verse 14, he invites her to come near and to be a part of those that are there. And in verse 14, it says, come near and eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar. There was some type of a sauce there that made the bread taste better, and he offered it to her. So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed parched grain to her, and she ate and was satisfied and kept some back. She was thinking about Naomi. She got all satisfied, and she said, can I take me a plate with me? And so she kept some back. And so he provided that roasted bread, that parched bread from his own hand, and gave her the leftovers. And then in verse 15, it says that Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. And then verse 16, also let grain from the bundles, I love this, let grain from the bundles fall purposely for her. Leave it that she may glean, and do not rebuke her. In other words, when you're going and you're hacking that stuff, and you got big, I don't know how that goes, but I think this is the way it is. They had that sickle, you know, something to cut it. They'd grab it, and they'd hack it at the bottom, and they'd bundle it up. Well, he's saying to his key people, he's saying, look, every once in a while, hack one down, just kind of put it down right there and make sure Ruth's right there. Man, I tell you what, this lady, she had it made. Boaz was basically saying, look, I'm going to provide for you. Don't go to anybody else's field. You just eat here. And so when it was all said and done, she had 30 to 50 pounds, an ephah of barley. Well, can I tell you this? In Christ Jesus, everything we need, the Lord has provided. In Christ Jesus, one of the key verses I ever memorized as a child was Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. In other words, what is your top priority? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Seek first God's kingdom. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9 says this, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth, that he might strongly support those whose heart is perfect towards him. And so he gave her provision. He provided for her. And then the last thing will be done, number 5, he gives hope to Naomi. Now you remember Naomi in chapter 1 says, don't call me Naomi, call me Mara. She was bitter. Naomi had lost, she had moved to a foreign land. She was only going there to get bread and stayed 10 years in a foreign land. So she stayed 10 years in a foreign land. Her two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, married Moabite women, and Mahlon married Ruth. And both of those guys died. So here's Naomi. She lost her husband. She lost both of her sons. And she was left with her daughters-in-law. So when she came back to Bethlehem, she said, don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara, which means bitter. But I tell you what, something is about to give her hope. And can I tell you this? You may be a part of the family of God, and you may be out there bitter, because things have not worked out just the way you thought they would work out. Can I tell you this? The longer I live, the more I realize I have to come to grips with this because things have not always worked out the way I had them planned. How about you? Now, don't look at me so pious, like, yeah, it's all working out for me. Well, I'm sorry. Will you come tell me your secret? Hey, let me just tell you, life gives you some twists and turns. We all face those kinds of twists and turns, and sometimes the circumstances in a believer's life don't just make, they come at you, and if you're not careful, they can make you bitter. This is kind of what happened to Naomi. But it's all going to change in verses 18 through 23. Then she took it and went to the city. She gave some to Naomi in verse 18. Verse 19, and her mother-in-law said to her, where has, she saw that 50-pound sack of barley. Hey, look, you don't get that kind of wheat unless somebody's chopping them, just laying them down for you. Man, you're normally picking just little teeny pieces here and there. You may come home with enough wheat to make one loaf of bread for your family that day, and then you got to go out again the next day. But she came home with all that reaping, and so look what Naomi says. Where have you gleaned today, and where did you work? Then she says, blessed be the one who took notice of you. So she's blessing Boaz. She doesn't even know who Boaz is yet. So then she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked, and she said, the man's name with whom I work today is Boaz. And then Naomi got real excited. Because you know what Naomi realized? She realized something that we learned last week in this passage, in chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. We learned that God is working behind the scenes. Is there anything more hopeful in the world? Look, listen to me. I'm just telling you from my own experience. Is there anything more hopeful in the world than to believe that the God of the universe is working behind the scenes on our behalf? I don't know of anything more exciting. Look, Kelly and I raised 5 children. We had decisions to make. I remember thinking, Lord, what in the world do I do? And I got a promise, the promise from the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Now, if this isn't right, don't tell me, because I've been doing this for a long time. Don't tell me if this isn't right. But you know what? We came to the conclusion is that the Lord wanted us, lock, stock, and barrel. He wanted us surrendered to Him. And then from there, we make the best decision we know to make. And then we say, Lord, under the authority of your word, with the counsel of those that are wiser than ours, we're going to make this decision. Now, were there other decisions that could have been made? Yes. But we made that decision holding on to 2 Chronicles 16:9, that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth, that He might strongly support those whose heart is perfect towards Him. That if we trust in the Lord with all of our heart, lean not on our own understanding, but if we acknowledge Him, then He, not me, He will direct our paths. So He can work behind the scenes. You say, well, I've tried that and it hadn't all worked out. The story's not over yet. Don't lose hope. Naomi had been bitter, and she said the name of the man was Boaz. Then Naomi said to her daughter, blessed be of the Lord. She is blessing the Lord now, who has not forsaken His kindness to the living and the dead. She mentions the dead because Elimelech is going to be blessed because of what Boaz is going to do. And Elimelech was her husband, and he's dead. She says, He has not forsaken His kindness to the living and the dead. And Naomi said to her, this man, and by the way, I circled that because when I studied that, it means the man. That's why I put Ruth meets her man. The man. Man, I tell you what. You think living for this world and all of its trappings and amusements can make you happy? You wait till you meet the man. You wait until you surrender your life to Jesus Christ. And then in the midst of difficulty, you'll have Him with you, giving you peace. Now hear me. It doesn't mean that we escape all problems and pressure. Remember, that's what Elimelech tried to do. He left the people of God trying to search out for answers in a foreign land, and that was not what he should have done. He should have hung in there with the Lord God Jehovah. He didn't do that. And so it says, she says in verse 20, this man is a relation of ours, one of our close relatives, and we're going to find out about that next week as we talk about what that position was. He was the kinsman redeemer. Ruth the Moabite said, he also said to me, you shall stay close by my young men until they have finished all my harvest. And notice Naomi's counsel. I love this. Verse 22, to her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women and that people do not meet you in another field. Don't go anywhere else, Ruth, because God is up to something behind the scenes. So she stayed close by the young women of Boaz to glean until the end of barley harvest and wheat harvest, and she dwelt with her mother-in-law. Now, you see, before Naomi was bitter, and now she's going to find hope. I was thinking about the story of Adolf Kors IV. He was the great-grandson of the man who developed the Kors Brewery in Golden, Colorado. He talks about living on a big ranch in Colorado, and as a teenager, his father went off to work one day. He said, man, we had the greatest life in the world. We had this beautiful, vast ranch. And he says, my father went off to work one day, and through a series of events, there was a hitchhiker that had other motives and another plan intact, and he was going to try to take Mr. Kors, a very powerful and wealthy man, and he ended up murdering him. And so this young Adolf Kors IV says, as a young man, my father was killed. And he talks about in his life, he spent all of this time so angry and so bitter at life. And so he talks about going into the Marines, and he talks about jogging. He said he ran 2,000 miles a year, and he's lifting weights, and he was just consumed with what was going to make him happy, and he was miserable inside. He thought, well, if I marry my high school sweetheart BJ, things will go great. So he married her, and their marriage ended up going down, and he had a goal. He went to Mercer University up here in Macon, Georgia, and then after that he went and got a business degree, and he said, I'm going to be a millionaire. I want to make $1 million by the age of 30. That was his goal. When he finished, at one point he went back to the brewery, went to his uncle and said, I need a job. And he said it was humbling because my uncle said, go down there and fill out an application. He said, my last name was Kors, and he has me go down. He said, about 2 months later, they called me and said, come to work. He said, I went to work in a full suit thinking I was going to enter in mid-level management. And they said to me, they said, go up to the front. You're going to be a tour guide. He was very humbling. He was angry. He thought, I want to just walk away from my wife. He said, we had vacations home. We had everything you could imagine, and we were miserable. A man named Lauren Sund had dinner with he and his wife BJ one night and told him about Jesus Christ. He rejected the message of Christ and went away thinking, you know what, it's going to help me is if I divorce BJ. Finally, the Lord got a hold of his heart, and he ended up saying, Lord, would you come in? Would you take over my life? And then he said, even as a Christian, I was bitter. I was bitter at the man who took my dad's life. And so I had to wrestle with that. And he said, 17 years it took me to finally get down on my knees and say, Lord, I'm all yours. Will you use me? He is involved in an investment company now. He went, left the brewery. The testimony that I heard, he left the brewery, went into an investment business. And he travels around telling people that you don't find the answers in stuff. You find it in the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, I'm going to tell you, Naomi got a new hope. When she realized that God was working behind the scenes, she got a new hope. I don't know what it is you're facing today, but I tell you one thing. The Lord is the kinsman redeemer. He is the one that can protect you. He is speaking to you. The Bible says he spoke by the Lord Jesus Christ. And in days of old, he spoke through the prophets. But in this day, he's speaking through the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's speaking to you. He is interested in you. He will protect you. He will provide for you. If you will seek first his kingdom, all these things will be added unto you. I'd like for us to bow our heads and hearts in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.